Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs 22. I'd like to look at verses 26 and 27. And I've entitled this message, A Warning Against Being a Surety. A Warning Against Being a Surety. Let's read verses 26 and 27. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Now, the Scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, being taught of God's Spirit, gives continual warning against being a surety, cosigner for another, and then having the possibility of placing yourself in a situation of being responsible to pay for a debt that could, depending on what you cosign, it could bankrupt you. One might say, yeah, but I don't mind doing it because I'd make sure I had the funds to cover it. Well, what if God takes everything away from you one day like He did Job's? Then what are you going to do? Proverbs 6, 1 and 2 says, My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, that is, if you undertake a pledge or another, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared, or you're ensnared, you're caught with the words of your mouth, thou art taken, or you're seized with the words of your mouth. You've obligated yourself for a friend's debt, and obviously a debt that he didn't have the funds to begin with. And you're going to be his collateral. If you've stricken your hand with someone, your mouth is ensnared you. That's what the Scripture says. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands, that gives his hand of promise, and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. A man without understanding, is what Solomon's saying, places himself in a position that could be possibly his ruin or the ruin of his family. He obligates himself to the debt of another, feeling that he needs to speak on behalf of one that can't speak for himself, is what Solomon says. So humanly speaking, it's unwise to be a surety for another unless you're fully ready, willing to lose everything, possibly, that you've pledged yourself to. You realize that when you make yourself to be a surety for someone, you realize that you may have to pay whatever you're pledging. Now, I want to say at this point, knowing what the Scripture has declared about being a surety, there's a danger, though, on being callously cautious, therefore under a misconception of helping somebody. Now, the Scripture says, Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's 1 John 3, verse 17. So, in every situation, we, humanly speaking, I'm just, you know, I always like to give the natural meaning, because you know this is not where I'm staying. You know that I'm not going to just be dealing with, you know, being a surety, just or not being a surety. But I want to understand, you know, the Proverbs are true. They're true. You know, naturally speaking, they're true. So let every situation be handled with prudence. I think a parent, any parent in here that would say, I wouldn't help my kids at all. I'm just not going to. Well, something's wrong. I don't know of a parent in here that hadn't been willing to. You know, he said, well, what if you lose it? Well, I lose it. If one of my kids had to have, but be willing to understand. Even if it's one of the kids, you're willing to do so, but you do. The law of being a surety is such that when you sign your name to it, kids or no kids, if they can't make good on it, you know you're going to have to. That's what Solomon is teaching him. Understand that what you're doing, you know, you've obligated yourself to. But now, we can't even talk about being a surety for another without being, have our minds brought to the truth of the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He Himself, who is our blessed and glorious surety, the one who eternally, if I could say it like this, signed the note, pledged Himself, undertook for, before the foundation of the world, when we were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, He stood as our surety. Surety of a better testament. And our surety, who undertook for us, who couldn't pay. And He, as I said before, you know, when someone, you co-sign a note, what you're saying is, in case you cannot pay. He knew we couldn't pay. We couldn't pay. But He undertook and willingly made flesh, humbled Himself, made Himself of no reputation. The servant of Jehovah came into this world and lived for and died for His people, those for whom He stood as the surety, answered every demand. When his name, so to speak, was attached according to that covenant of grace, every demand, you sign a note, whatever the stipulations are, whatever that, you answer to all of them. The law is going to demand payment in full for every bit. He paid in full. We were born in debt. In Adam's transgression, when he disobeyed God, we're in bondage to the law, to sin. We owe a debt. Now, I'd like for us now, in light of the indebtedness to which man by nature is bound to, I want us to consider these verses this morning in light of a word from the Lord who spoke that scripture that we just read, that He has given to a people. I'm going to read this passage of scripture this morning. We're going to look at those two verses for just a few minutes and realize that this word is from the Holy Spirit. It's God breathed. And it's to God's people. That's who this book is written to. This book right here that just about everybody and their brother's got a copy of. But this book is written to the people of God to give them some hope. Let them hear from the Lord. So this morning I pray that we might all hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now let's just look for a second. Verse 26, be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debts. Now there's two groups of people that the Spirit of God just talked to. He talked to us and He talked to them. Now listen, the debt, he's talking about, you know, be not thou one of them that strike hands or them that are surety. He's talking about being a surety. And not just sureties for temporal debts in this world. You know, we're talking about being a surety for the debt of a man against God's law, because of sin. So let's just look at that first group. He says, be not thou. Be not thou. He's talking to somebody. He's talking to those who have been everlastingly loved, loved of God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to those to whom the Lord has been pleased to show mercy and compassion. He's talking to those chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we looked at a moment ago who came into this world. He's talking to those who He's going to teach something. He's going to teach them that they have no ability to pay their own debt. They have no ability to pay the penalty to sin. They cannot be their own surety before the judge of all the earth. Now, this word of exhortation, this is what he's saying. He's saying, now listen, here's just the Spirit of God is speaking right now to God's people. And here goes forth the word, be not thou. Now that word, be not thou, of exhortation, for that word to be truly effectual and more than just in the fickle mind of a human being, to be more than just a suggestion to God's people. For that word, be not thou, for that word to be effectual, for them to truly, heartily consider it, that word must be a word from heaven, a word of power that causes the sheep, because of the importation of a new life, the removal of a heart of stone and a new heart put in, that for God's people to not be deceived. Be not thou. Now, for anybody to hear that in heart, hear it with new ears, anybody to hear that, God's going to have to make that effectual, because we all can hear. As I've said before, you understand what I'm saying. Be not thou. But for us to hear in power, God's going to have to do something. That word of mercy, be not thou, must in the day of God's power come to the vessels of God's choosing and mercy. It must be a word that accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. Hold your place right here. And turn over to John chapter 20. Let me show you something. John 20. Thomas had made a rash statement, and the Lord met with his disciples after his resurrection, and Thomas wasn't there, and the other disciples told Thomas, "We saw the Lord. The Lord met with us." And Thomas said, he said concerning that word, verse 25, John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I put my finger where I know those nails were, I'm not going to believe." And the Lord, 8 days later, crossed Thomas's path at second meeting, and the Lord spoke to Thomas, and he said that he said, verse 27, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Now listen to this word, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, do you know what it's going to take for Thomas to be not faithless, but believing? God's going to have to cause that word, of that command to Thomas, to come to him in power. Because anybody could hear that word, but unless that word comes in power, unless it's made effectual, it's just a word. You know, be not faithless. Don't you be without faith. The Lord's going to have to give him faith to do that. But you believe. God's going to have to cause that man to believe. So that word of power was a word that God commanded and God gave the power to do. Was that just a suggestion to Thomas? Be not faithless. See if you can drum it up. Work it up real fast, Thomas. As quickly. No. God, that word from the Lord to Thomas moved Thomas. What did he say? My Lord and my God. What have I done? What have I said? How could I have been so disrespectful? How could I have not trusted the Lord who said, I'm going to rise again? What was I doing? Whenever the Lord came to Matthew, walked by Matthew and said, follow me. You think that was a suggestion? Take it or leave it. Matthew got up, left everything right there, and followed the Lord. Back in Proverbs, where the Lord is speaking to His people, be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debt. Be not, and there's the second group He's talking to, them. It's us and them. He says to His people, don't be like those who think, and here's the spiritual significance of this passage right here. Don't be like those who think concerning being a surety that I can strike hands or be a surety for me, for myself. You know, we always think of being a surety for someone else. You know what the carnal man thinks? I think I can be a surety for myself. I think that I can strike hands with myself. I can answer. That deceitful heart with which we're all born tells us that we can answer for ourselves. That we can be our own surety. How? By exercising our own free will to accept an offer made by God. Now, them, even them, they'll outwardly admit that there is some transgression there, that they're, you know, that they've sinned, you know, but they still feel that they're not totally impotent. That they're not totally, they don't believe that they are totally without strength. They don't believe it. They believe that they can still rescue themselves. Okay, all right, I'll admit. Adam fell in the garden. I admit that. And therefore, I'm in debt. Okay, I'm in debt. I can still pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm not without hope because I can still stand for myself. I can exercise my will, and I really have the keys to life and death. Because when it comes right down to it, they say, I can. I have the final say. I can satisfy God, they say. They, my friend, are saying that they truly believe that they can still sign the note. I can exercise. I can do. I can make good on my debt. I'm in debt. I've got some sin. But it's not so bad that I cannot still pay. I can pay. But let me ask you this. How can a spiritually dead bankrupt, one that truly has nothing, not only has nothing, he's dead. How is he going to co-sign his own note and it be accepted? You think God's going to accept what? An exercise of a free will from a dead man there's no satisfaction of justice, there's no establishedness of righteousness? Let me ask you something. All right. Somebody wants to buy a nice car. Nice. Car's $100,000. The man makes $2,000 a month. He's got $1,500 a month in debt. Car note's going to be $2,000 for 60 months. That's going to come out to $120,000. Right, while you're trying to add it, I'll tell you what it comes out to. $120,000, including interest. Bought it for $100,000, financed it for $60,000. Makes $2,000 a month, $1,500. He can't pay for the car. He can't afford it. But he says, I can be my own co-signer. And the bank's going to say, that ain't good enough. No, you don't have it. You can't pay. Now, we can understand that, but do you know a deceitful heart, blind to the fact that a man is indebted to God's law, and he makes nothing. He owes everything. And therefore, his ability to pay is zero. And his wickedly deceitful heart will tell him, all you have to do is A, B, C, or D. You can make good on the note. You can strike hands with yourself and satisfy God and enter into a covenant with God, and God will accept your payment. There's none righteous. Not one. None. False religion tells a man, that's what he's talking about, that you can do, that you're bound for nothing or to nothing. There's a little good in you because it's not the will of the Lord that any should perish, that all a man must do is this, that God will accept it. I am a just God. I'm a Savior. Man thinks he can strike hands with himself. Here the Spirit of God warns, be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debt. You know what a believer's going to say? I can't pay. And nobody else in here can pay for me, and I can't pay for you. No one born in Adam can pay the debt. Be not thou. And the reason, verse 27 in closing, if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? If you have nothing to pay spiritually, and we don't, now you know that, why should he, the true creditor, the judge of all the earth, the just God, the one before whom all men are indebted, the one before whom all have sinned against thee and thee only, where David said, Psalm 51, have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight? Why should he take away thy bed? That word bed right there is from a base word that means your rest. Your rest. If you have nothing to pay, why should he, and he will, with that full payment of the debt, he going to take away your rest? Matthew 7, we looked at that so many times. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. Many shall say, Lord, we prophesied, cast out devils. Then many wonderful. I never knew you. Why should he take away your rest? Hear the word of the Lord. Listen, man is saved by grace through faith, and that not of himself. You can't pay. It's the gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the surety. There's only one. There's only one. And I'm not it. Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. What did Paul say when he wrote to the Hebrews? What did he say? He said, Christ Jesus, as the surety of the sheep, he drew near to God on the behalf of his beloved people with the accepted payment for the debt that was owed to the law. What was it? His blood. His precious blood. There's one thing that will answer for my debt. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my free will decisions, not my best works, not all the readings I can do, not nothing. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. When I see the blood, be not thou. Be not thou. And oh, may God cause that word to come. Be not thou. One of them that strike hands or them that sureties. If you have nothing to pay, and again, like I said, we don't. Why should he take away your rest? And you know what the people of God say? Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. As it is in Christ Jesus. I pray the Lord bless this word to our heart. Teach us afresh today that truth for his sake and our good.